Hello, my marketing and entrepreneur friends. Welcome back to another exciting episode of the Let's Talk Marketing Podcast, where I, your host, Katya Allison, get to explore the latest trends, techniques, and strategies in the world of marketing. Now, in today's episode, I have the privilege of speaking with not just one, but two dynamic entrepreneurs, Mia and Elisa, the founders of Huxley, an award-winning creative tech studio that specializes in innovative chatbots and one-on-one conversations. Now, with over 13 years of collaboration, these two pioneers have merged cutting-edge technology with a deeply human approach, crafting meaningful relationships for clients, ranging from best-selling authors to impactful nonprofits like charity. In the conversation, we really unpacked the world of chatbots and their ability to create authentic connections in today's digital landscape. They share their insights on how chatbots can transform marketing strategies, moving beyond more than just leveraging them for customer service to create engaging, personalized experiences that really resonate with their audiences. And of course, the significant role of storytelling in their approach, emphasizing how brands can really leverage conversational design to build trust and loyalty with their community. If you listen to this episode, this is what you can expect. You can expect to gain valuable perspectives on the future of digital marketing, as well as actionable tips on integrating innovative chatbot technology into those strategies. From maintaining a personal touch to automated interactions to the best practices for nurturing relationships in the digital space. So you know what I'm going to tell you. Grab your favorite beverage, sit back, and let's dive into it. Let's talk marketing.
Mia and Elisa, thank you so much for coming on to the Let's Talk Marketing podcast. Welcome.
We're so excited to be here. Thank you for having us.
I'm excited for us to dive into kind of DMs and chatbots and building relationships. I've got lots of questions about that. But before we do, I want the guests to get to know, well, you're the guests. I want the audience to get to know the guests. I want them to get to know you a little bit. So let's get started with just kind of like the easy questions, right? I'd love to know what you guys are both currently doing right now.
Well, Mia and I, in fact, have been working together for 13 years, and we are running the company Huxley. We're a creative tech studio that specializes in creating marketing chatbots that we call one-on-ones on social media. They're a type of chatbot you haven't probably seen before. It's based off storytelling and relationship building, so we can help brands cut through the algorithm, keep their audience's attention while making more money. So that's what we spend our time living and breathing. So we're excited to be here and fill your audience all in on that world.
Oh, there's a lot to dive into as well too. What is it that you guys love about what you're currently doing? And be prepared, because with the good, there is the bad. I want to know if there's anything I could pluck out of your day-to-day, what would that be? So let's start with the good. What do you love about what you guys are currently doing right now?
Okay, I'll go first, Elisa, because there's a lot, you know, I feel like that we can be grateful for and also that we have a lot of fun with. I think particularly it's getting to work with our clients. So those are brands, those are creators, and unpacking their story and being able to tell it conversationally is so fun for us. Because, you know, how to tell it, Elisa and I in our past life have actually, we had built a technology platform where we allowed anybody to build a conversation. And we quickly learned that it was really hard for people to translate their story into a conversation. A lot of it was talking at their audience as opposed to, you know, doing what we do naturally with our friends, which is sending texts back and forth. So that's something that we really love to do. And what we're, I think, just have been excited about for years is how do we take something and make it conversational?
Love that. Mia, what do you love about what you do? Or no, I am so sorry.
But it's okay. It's like, you know, I don't know where I begin. So just
and I also love that you didn't skip a beat at all. You're like, okay, I'm next. Forget the name. I'm going to get it right.
We've done interviews. We've pitched investors. We've worked with every type of, like, I can read Mia without even like looking at her. Like, we got
it. I love it. Oh my gosh, how embarrassing for me, but I will get over it by the end of it.
Oh my God. Yeah. So I think for me, what I find the most exciting is having a clean slate or like a whiteboard to be as creative as we want to, which that's also the negative side of this. Is that there's no confines, right? And being one of the first companies to market in the space that we're in is really difficult, but also comes with so much exciting things because we're part of like the first wave of people really designing how we're using chat between humans and brands. And that's a really cool opportunity. And then just being creative, like the like Mia was saying, getting to brainstorm with clients about all the different ways they can use chat. I mean, that's just, it's really fun in itself. And we save people so much time and money. And I, from a business perspective, I really enjoy that as well.
Well, I love hearing what you guys love about it. What would, if anything, could I pluck out? Is it having the road already paved for it? Or does that take that excitement away? Like what, if anything, could I pluck out of your day?
I think the answer to your question really quick is both. Like, yes, it would be so nice if the road was already paved. But, you know, chat has been around for a little bit. I feel like even just in the last 6 months, it's changed so much.
Yeah.
So the road is at least cobblestoned, maybe not nice pavement, but.
Oh, I love it.
There's a little bit going on there. People are familiar with it. I think the thing I would love to pluck out is that chatbots are not just for customer service. Used a lot, and that is one way to use it for sure, but it's a missed opportunity if that's the only way as a brand and a marketer you're using it.
Nice.
Okay, from like the day-to-day stuff, I want to pluck out lead gen.
Oh, you and me both.
Take this from me. Like, I don't want to do it. I mean, the thing is, once you're in our funnel, I love because we see our job as advising and helping, right? But yeah. like getting the qualified right people in the door, I can't say it's my like thing I wake up so excited to do.
No, you know, it's so funny because I have a love-hate relationship with lead gen because you do know you need to feed the funnel and you need to get those people so that you can do the thing that you love, which is like the advising and like, let's talk through this. Let's create a plan together. But man, you're right. Like in order to hone in on it, it's why demand gen is like one area of like the marketing organization because you kind of want someone who's going to wake up and be obsessed about it. Do you know what I mean? And I also think it's okay to not love it.
It's practical. Like we can't like everything. And it's something I recently was like, Mia, I have to own this. I can't do it anymore.
Like that was what she would spend a lot of time doing. And she's like, she sat me down digitally and was like, okay.
I can't. But the thing is, I don't know if I would have this attitude towards it, like kind of what Mia was saying. People are not walking around being like, I need a marketing chatbot. So that's like another level of, you know, a challenge that comes with lead gen for us.
Yeah. And it's a layered cake. Marketing is just a layered cake, right? Like you have to gain awareness. I think, you know, I've recently been in some conversations with an agency where we're talking back and forth, like, what is your ultimate goal? Is it lead generation or is that where you want us to spend your time or is it brand awareness? And every single time it's like, well, obviously we want leads. But you can't get leads without awareness. Like if people don't know about you, then there's no reason for it. They will never qualify as a lead. So it really does go hand in hand. Like I actually really love that you said that because it's not my favorite part either. Not my favorite at all. Now, how are you?
Oh,
go, okay? Go, go.
Add one thing to it. Please. This is just like, fun thing about chat. So in the DMs in particular, so like Instagram DM Messenger, what is really fun, just like a fun tidbit about it, is that you can collect leads in the DMs and it's the first time you can track your social following. So it's actually a really big deal for brands to if they were to utilize the DMs in this very conversational way, because they can grow their CRM. But we can get into that maybe a little bit later. I just wanted to plant the seed.
Oh, you know what? I love that you've planted the seed, and we may as well grow it into an avocado tree, because we'll get into like how you guys are staying up to date with the trends, because I would like to dive into a little bit more on like the DM and chatbot, because I'll be honest with you, for me, when I hear chatbot, I do think customer service. And not only do I think customer service, I think only my website. So for you guys, when you're talking about it, what's that difference between DM and chatbot? Are they one in the same?
No. DM is the platform. It's the it's the space of communication. Chatbot is the method of doing it. Chatbot's the technology. It's the conversational design. It's being built on top of the DMs. So just to give everyone listening just the most up-to-date marketing information that's going on, Meta announced that the number one place people are spending time on Instagram is Instagram DMs. And because of this behavior change, because if you think about it from like a personal level, not from like a we're all marketers here. We send our favorite reels. We send our friends our favorite things that we're consuming. So that's where Meta was like, okay, well, let's open up the DMs for automation, which means people can create automated conversations like you see with customer service, our FAQ chatbots. But the way you do customer service and FAQ chatbots or any sort of chatbot, it's not the same what you do on social. It's not the same need. And the biggest need we see with social today is how do you foster community, keep your audience's attention, cut through the algorithm and make sure you're getting enough money or getting a return in your like ROI from organic and paid. And so we come in and we're like, well, there's a brand new way we can cut through the algorithm and make a lot more money. So that's why we love chatbots on social media. It's not where it's when we say chatbots, we're not talking about the people going into the comments and liking and commenting. We're not referring to that. We're saying like authentic conversations that happen in the DMs based off that brand.
Well, and let's talk about best practices. I was going one way or the other with this because I kind of wanted to know a little bit more about like the storytelling. But before we get there, I kind of want to know the basics. What are my best practices when I'm even getting started with the thought of trying to leverage DM as a tool for maybe even lead gen, well, lead nurturing, not lead gen necessarily, right? Like, where do I even get started? What are people missing? What are they doing wrong, maybe? Let's start with what they're doing wrong.
Absolutely. Okay. So this is my favorite topic right now, just because like there's a little bit of worry on our end of how the DM automation is being used. So I am sure if you've been on Instagram literally anytime recently, you have seen somebody being like, hey, comment whatever word, some sort of password, and I will send you the recipe, the link, whatever it may be. And it's so fun that people are like, and it's exciting that people are like using that to like get people into the DMs, but then they stop. They send a link and that's it. That's not it. A conversation. Like that's not a conversation. And it's such a missed opportunity to not engage with your audience once they're in the DMs. And if they do, a lot of it is very spammy. It's, you know, sign up for my course. Here's, you know, like here's the 20% off discount for my course, but it's always about still pushing something on somebody.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, no one wants to be marketed to, right? Mm-hmm. Like, do you want to be entertained? So how do you use conversation in a way that entertains people? And that's where I think our storytelling kind of comes in, is like, how do we see that person on the other end as an individual and make sure that what they're getting out of the experience is something that's valuable for them.
And to contextualize that just a little bit to give context, because, you know, we say marketing chatbots, we say conversations. This is something we love and breathe. Just to contextualize it is you can have a lead gen machine. You can do maybe a quiz. You can do a challenge. We worked with the nonprofit Charity Water and created an interactive experience of traveling to Zimbabwe to learn about the work that they do with access to clean water. Like there's so much you can do. We always challenge people to think of their like kind of one-dimensional marketing strategy and how can you make it personalized and interactive? So imagine you're a supplement company or, you know, a beauty brand. Someone goes to your blog to learn about your products or watch your TikToks and reels. What if they could get the information they're looking for in a fun, interactive way right in the chat, you know? So we're always thinking, yeah, how can we take the modern ways of marketing and make it fun and interactive and like a value exchange, not just extracting information? Because today it feels like, oh, I'm just going to type my email in and get that discount. There's a time and place for that, but what about everything else?
Yeah. What about everything else? And also just kind of nurturing it. So what I'm hearing you guys really say is that this, the DMs and leveraging chatbots to execute this kind of communication and building out relationships, it takes this level of personalization that should happen, right? Because I know for me, when I have, because you're right, I totally interact in the DMs and I end up having full-on conversations, even though I have their phone number on my phone, you know, because I've sent that reel, like we're natively in there and we're already having a conversation and this back and forth. And then, you know, I'm a little bit all over the place. So, and I like that because I'm, you know, I'm one-to-one with my friends, you know, even with my husband, right? Like I'm one-to-one on that. How can you create that experience while still also having a chatbot? So how do you create that one-on-one experience and develop that relationship in the DMs while still doing that at mass, right? Because obviously if we could all have one-on-one conversations, it would go a lot further. So that question, a little bit more context for that question is, are you guys saying nurture that relationship in the DM and then like have it live outside of that? Or are you talking about like initially engage with them in the DM and then take it quickly outside of the DM? Or maybe it's a little bit of both.
I was going to say, well, I wish it was.
Let's just look. Can we take like one step back and look at like how people, like right now, people are going, as an audience member for a brand, but you're going to Instagram to be entertained, right? You're going there to like scroll. What we see is a lot of brands trying to get people off the scrolling to go to their website to purchase something, right? Like that's the experience. But you're asking me to stop, you know, engage with my friends, to stop seeing really funny stuff on, you know, reels or like getting updates on stories. You're asking me to leave something fun to go to your website that I don't know it's going to promise something engaging. And so, you know, our, you know, belief is like the reason that has such a high drop off when you drive someone off, why not just keep it right in the experience where they already are and nurture that relationship in the DM? You can still send them the same products, the same links, all of that right within the DMs. And as Elisa was kind of hinting at earlier, there's no algorithm in the DMs. So, honestly, how many people don't check their messages in the DMs? Like everyone checks their DM messages. So
yeah,
they will see your message from them if you're a brand.
And if someone drops off in the conversation, you can re-engage them. So if you think about it from like the traditional social selling method, you put a post up, you have the click, or you have like tell people to go to link in bio, they go to your website, it's hard to track them. They might purchase, they might give you their email, but you don't really know who that person is. Now, when you drive traffic to the DMs with a chatbot, you get them in your CRM, you know their name, their Instagram handle, their PSID, you can re-engage them where they drop off, and you actually get all this first party and zero party data to understand who they are. So for us, like we honor and understand brands want to foster their community off these platforms because they don't want to build dependency. But I almost feel like it's a yes and. Like keep them on the platform, have a value exchange, get that email address if it's necessary, but also build a DM list, create this engagement channel.
Now with the chatbot that you guys are talking about, if I'm running a marketing department and I want to be able to leverage something like that, what's kind of like that time savings that I have with that? Like how many relationships, this sounds funny, how many relationships can I have on the DMs by engaging a chatbot? Which I'm assuming that you're going to say quite a few.
Oh, it's literally infinite. Like you could have millions. And you know how Elisa and I have conceptualized conversational design is almost, it's very Disneyland-esque, if you will. Like,
okay.
I think what's so, we are also huge proponents, I think, like ChatGPT and having that kind of conversation. But when we think about a branded conversation, we are thinking this more like Disney, where you're like, you're going to get on the ride, we're going to start the conversation, and we are going to guide you down a fairly, you know, interesting path. But my path might look a little bit different than your path based on how you've responded to the chatbot. And then the conversation is going to have an ending. Whereas, like, you know, a lot of chat right now just kind of leaves it up to the person on the other end, especially if it's a customer service bot, right? It's just like, did you get what you need? You know, yes or no. And
yes,
for us, it's about creating an experience for someone to go through and really get, you know, a deeper into whether it's that brand, like going deeper into a new product a brand is having, or, you know, whatever the case may be.
I'd like to unpack conversational design, because you guys have both said it a couple times, actually more than a couple times. What does that mean, and how long does it take? I know I'm asking you so many time questions, but I think as a marketer, I'm always looking to be able to save time. And I love chatbots on the website, and I've, you know, written playbooks, but to me, from a DM perspective, it seems like from a conversational design, I would think that that means like you're kind of laying out, like if you had a whiteboard, you're laying out kind of all of the different paths based on like the potential responses, which seems like that would take forever to create. That seems like it would take forever to create.
We have created very intense ones that are very, very intricate and have many, many, many paths for someone to go down. But we've also done very, very short experiences that are 2 to 3 interactions, where, you know, you're getting as a audience member, if you will, you know, you're getting the information that you need in a quick way. But to like really define conversational design for us, it's really looking at like, how do you build interactive experiences? So how do you talk to someone and not act with them? And Elise and I have kind of come up with a way of doing this active engagement versus passive engagement. So instead of just like, you know, I think you can kind of look at how the DMs are used right now as similar to email, where it's just like, here's the message, here's the link.
Yeah.
And we're looking at it as, okay, well, where can we build an interaction that's going to keep people engaged? So we do multiple choice questions. We do open-ended questions. We actually have a 91% response rate to these questions. People love sharing when they are asked. Which has been really beautiful to see these just like wild responses, you know, from everyone from like Gen Zers to literally people in their 70s sharing so much information. And so our motto really is, if you want to know something, you should just ask.
And I wish
I love that
was something that was like, okay, party people, it takes you 10 minutes, but it goes back to the way you execute Facebook ads versus an email funnel versus a YouTube series. It's all different timing. So when we work with our clients, if they come to us and they're like, hey, we're launching this product, we need to do product education, but we also want to get people to convert, we instantly know it needs to be a short experience, it needs to be personalized, and it needs to be super engaging. We know we're going to keep that audience's attention span really short. So it all comes down to strategy and understanding where can chat do traditional marketing better.
Well, and do you find that it works better for different industry verticals? Because not every, like a B2B brand is not necessarily going to be on Instagram. So are we talking only Meta, or is this something that I can leverage for a LinkedIn? Because I feel like I'm getting a lot more on LinkedIn lately from, it doesn't feel like it's a person also. So I'm like, wait a second, this is an automated response. So I'm wondering, when you guys are talking about the chatbot, are we exclusive to Meta, or are you also dipping into LinkedIn?
So when it comes to the big vision of our business, our goal is to be really the company that spearheads and leads how consumer-facing brands interact with their audience with chat. And they know Huxley's the company to come to that's going to create the best experiences. So we're ultimate huge fans of Meta because of the features, the capabilities. They follow data regulations to the T. So we love Meta, and our clients love Meta. We have considered diving into LinkedIn. I believe the API is not open for the type of capabilities that we need, because the foundation of everything we do is interactive. And I don't quote me going back to the question, how do you stay up to date? Something could have changed 2 days ago with the LinkedIn API. So like, party people, go look that up if LinkedIn's of interest.
Let's fact check.
But to be honest, we predominantly work with consumer facing brands. We definitely down the line are interested. We're interested in building for websites, building for SMS, but when it comes to advising our clients, we're just really big believers in what we've seen with Meta. And the reason is what our clients have experienced with us is a 25% bounce rate, which if you think compared to a website, it's really, really great. On average, 5 minutes time spent, as Mia was saying, a 91% response rate to questions and a 35% click-through rate on CTAs. So we're just seeing really powerful metrics in the DMs. But you can, technically, the world we're heading in, chatbots will be everywhere. Everywhere.
Well, yeah. And I think that, you know, honestly, the overall theme of what you're selling, which is is creating conversation, creating community, while you may not have a chatbot on LinkedIn, you should take that same approach across any sort of social platform, right? Like engage with your audience in a meaningful way and not like so deep. Like you don't have to be super deep. We don't have to have deep psychological conversations in the DM, but I think it is nice to be able to engage. Where do I get started in creating like that kind of conversation? What kind of tips do you guys have? And maybe is there an example that you can give of like like what an experience would be like as you're building out this conversation and trying to build this relationship?
So first off, I think it really comes down to the size of your company and where you are with your business. So if you're a business that's still figuring out your customer persona, language that resonates, the funnel that works, building and fostering your community, me and I highly recommend you use the DMs as like a relationship fostering environment. This is not the place to go convert ASAP. So we recommend the platform ManyChat. It's something you can go do yourself. You can go learn how to build these experiences, these quick experiences. But we've learned the hard way that just because maybe content creation is really easy for you doesn't mean conversational design and chatbot design goes hand in hand. Because when we work with like our enterprise, medium-sized business clients, we're taking into consideration what type of data are we trying to collect? What's the next step in the relationship we're building? So if you're a smaller business that's establishing the foundation you walk on, definitely go check out ManyChat. If you're a medium to large size business, I highly recommend outsourcing this type of project. I always tell people, think of it as like building a website. You can go build an Amazon e-commerce store, or you can go build a landing page for your app. So companies like ours, like Huxley, there's other ones out there in the world as well, you can go to that have different specialties when it comes to chat.
Okay. So I love that you've given those just kind of practical tips. I'm curious, is the initiation at the DM level, or are you initiating after someone engages with you?
That's a great question.
So it's always up to the audience member to make that first move, if you will. So they do have to DM the brand first, or they make a comment on a post. They can respond to a reel or a story. And then once they give the green light, then the conversation sort of begins.
And to pause there for a second, for social media marketers, that's a huge ordeal. Because when you add value through a like, hey, go get in the DMs that we were talking about, comment, like, you know, those to get an action. It's really valuable for social media, for your engagement. You know, we see brands typically have better engagement when they're using that feature of comment and to get something in the DMs is really powerful. But going back to everything we were talking about, you can't just use it like, I'm going to send you a product or I'm going to spam you. You have to make sure it's a value. That's what I think we're going to be preaching this for the next few years, because we're seeing so much like people utilizing this like spam. And we've seen people like every audiences now are open to chatbots, you know, because of OpenAI, because of all this behavior change, people are open to it. So we're like, oh, people, please let's treat audiences with respect and not just blowing up their inboxes.
Well, and I think that you hit the nail on the head. I think nowadays there is a lot more spam that's coming into someone's, when someone slides into the DM. So I'm really curious, how do you keep it? How do you keep it personal? Like, I know we've talked about it. We've talked about having, like, waiting for them to engage with you and they can then curate their experience. But there's this level of authenticity that I wonder, like, do people truly react in that way? I mean, like, they've got to feel like it's a chatbot. So how do you keep it human, I guess, is what I'm trying to get at.
Mia, I feel like we should give them like one little tip. One of our little secret tips.
I was actually gonna talk about Oh, sorry, Elisa. For some reason it's a little hard to hear you. I was gonna give you like a concrete example because the human aspect is very interesting. We actually worked with a cannabis company to create what we call the stuff that we do for our clients one-on-ones. And we create an experience in the DMs for people who haven't tried, who have tried, who are, you know, everyday users. And we created these different conversations for them to really, and it was actually, and I hope this is okay to share on this, and if you need to edit it, okay. But it was in relation to pleasure. And so it was a very fascinating topic that they hired us to do. And it was wild because people were sharing so much about, you know, like their fears around it, also their excitements around this. And because they knew that it wasn't a real person, people are more likely to share. And we have seen that across the board.
Interesting.
So there is an element to like making, like people know that it's not a real person. And so they feel more comfortable sharing, but at the same time, we usually, how we design them, we always have like a host of the experience and it will say like, you know, I'm like so-and-so, you know, either they work for the brand or they're an influencer or a creator. And they'll be like, you know, I'm just hosting this experience.
Okay. Nice.
I was going to say just like two like tangible tips. We highly recommend if it goes back to building like an authentic relationship and connection, it's through not calling yourself a chatbot, like not saying, we say chatbot for people to realize what we do, but from like writing to your audience, don't say, oh, this is Robert's robot. Like, we're not in the AI days. We're not talking to smarter child. Like, we're not doing that. You know, I think it's important to create an environment, just like how when you're thinking about when you're writing a blog post or an email, you're trying to think about what emotion do you want to evoke. It's the same thing with chat. Yep. It's good copy that talks to your audience like a human. And that's when it comes to a company that already has things executed and a foundation established, that's when working with professionals in this who are experts is so important. But the personalized element that we always love doing is multiple choice questions. Cause like what Mia was saying, depending on whatever you click, you get a different response. And it's such a nice way to segment your audience and give them the information they need.
Yeah, I do love that because I think it is a very sneaky way of getting the information about them that you're looking for so that you can curate a better experience for them. It is, you know, it's a sneaky question. I'm also a big fan of surveys. I am the person that will fill out and do all sorts of things. But I also like what you had brought up in regards to people being much more open. I never even thought about the level of anonymity that it being in the DM allows you to have. I'm not researching something, right? Like you're coming to me and this is potentially something that could serve me. I may as well go down this rabbit hole because what do I have to lose? I can stop this conversation at any time, right?
Mm-hmm. And it gives them a sense of control also.
Oh, absolutely. Do you guys find that... Well, I guess you're waiting for them to give you the information before you enter in any information into your CRM. So you don't have to worry about any like GDPR or any like violating any sort of like, you know, because they're giving you the information. Like what's your disclaimer? How do you put in your disclaimer while you're still also collecting that information? Is that built in?
It is. We follow all GDPR and CPA. what is, oh my gosh, CCPA. I'm like, so tired. Yeah, thank you.
like, what are those initials?
Yes, because like, you know, but it is serious. Like, I do think it is serious in terms of the data collection. And we are very protective of the data that we collect. Yeah. But at the same time, how do you, I think what's more insidious to us is how it's used. Like if you go to a website, right, and it tracks everything that you do, that feels way more insidious than if I was to just ask you, it's your choice to respond.
No, absolutely. And I think like, you know, Lisa, you had me sold on like the first party data, right? Like there is such a huge conversation and it's been going on for the last few years, right? Like it's all about getting your first party data. I don't want my information that's scraped to like, I just don't want to be, there's a difference between like getting something that you've requested that you have said like, no, I do want to receive something with the ability to opt out versus like your information being scraped. I mean, like I, you know, I even know like from an SMS perspective, like I'm getting text messages where I'm like, who, how did they even get my phone number? I don't know who this is. I'm not buying this. Like it's kind of crazy. So I would assume that like, as we look to the future of, you know, how this conversational chat bot evolves from like a Meta perspective to a LinkedIn to like wherever it goes to, that there's going to be a lot more regulations that are going to have to happen in like the future years. At this point now, I feel like, I don't know, there's some days it feels like it's a Wild West out there. You know, with influencer marketing being a bit of the Wild West, with, you know, new innovations like this, with AI also having the trajectory that it is getting, I think all of that is, I think there's so much to be said about what's going to happen in the future. I'm curious as to like what your, both of your thoughts are on like where you see this evolving.
You want me to go first, Elisa?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, so this is something we do talk about a lot because I think on the one hand, I think it could go very badly. I want to be honest because when I say badly, I mean we can see it going in a way that it's just spam and then no one listens and it's a missed opportunity. Yeah. And it's a missed opportunity to actually engage with your audience, get to know who they are through the zero and first party data and actually personalize experiences for them. I could see it going in that way. I also could see it going in the way my partner works in video games, and it's so fascinating to me to see how like communication is done through this. And I also know Disney is investing a lot into conversational marketing at the moment. And I'm like, it's going to be so interesting if there is a time and place where you are talking to those characters that people love. What is that actually going to look like? And I don't know, that could go down like a whole nother rabbit. I think the most like thing that I am very excited about, something that we use every day for like work is ChatGPT. And mm-hmm. I love how helpful it is. But it also, you know, pretty much ends when I'm done engaging in terms of like, they're like, oh, hey, does that work for you? Like, if you know, I want help writing an email. Does that sound like how you want?
Yeah.
Great. Okay. But that is also not a conversation, right? Like I'm going to search for something. I get a response. And I'm curious how conversations are going to shape up in the future with AI. I hope it's not necessarily a her situation like the movie, but
oh my gosh, that's a good callback right there.
No, but
her was very creepy.
Right, but I am curious. I'm curious to see how conversation evolves when as people get more and more comfortable with AI.
I love that. Elisa, where do you see it going?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's a very much yes and to what Mia was saying, because I see AI involved in all of this and everything we're doing. Mm-hmm. I think from a marketing standpoint, we're at the infancy phase of what we're seeing. With marketing, I think more marketers will jump on board with chat because it does optimize and save everyone time, even though mm-hmm. I can't give you the exact amount of hours it takes. It will save you time.
I can't believe I don't have a concrete answer, but it's because the way I am interacting with brands and chat has changed rapidly in the past 2 months. Like when I am training ChatGPT on everything, Alisa, like everything. It knows about my diet, my budget, my astrology chart, my like my Enneagram. And now I'm turning to it for like advice. And I know this is not marketing, but the reason I bring it up, because it shows my comfortability with bringing AI into my personal life. And so that's what I'm probably the most curious to pay attention to and to see how brands optimize on this opportunity. I think people are really smart. They can smell an ad or sponsorship from a mile away.
Yeah.
In my opinion, the smart marketers are the ones who are going to know how to use this as a relationship value add tool. Kind of like now we're seeing GPTs come out, like Canva has one on ChatGPT. There's Veed, like there's different AIs for different brands to help productivity. Yeah. I think productivity is just the beginning. It's just the beginning. We all know this. So I wish I had a concrete answer, but I think as I'm evolving with it, which maybe that is my answer.
No, I was just going to say, I feel like that's spot on. You are evolving with it. And I think the idea that it's just a point in time and like this is the foundation and it's end all be all is totally false when it comes to any sort of trend, because technology is evolving, because AI is also learning and we're learning with it and how to like incorporate it in our lives in very different ways. I think like not only will like the technology evolve and you're evolving with it, but I think there's something to be said about like the marketer of the future is going to be very different, right? You're going to have a marketer of the future that's going to be talking about conversational design. Like that is going to be like the nomenclature of every marketing organization, you know, and with AI, it's going to be the prompt engineer, right? I think that we're going to evolve into different terminologies that are just going to be a staple. If you're not a prompt engineer, if you don't know how to have like do conversational design, then forget it. Because those are also tools that you can use with everything else that is very traditional marketing. You can use that and you should use that with email, right? Like it, you have to start looking at the environment so very differently. I have one question before I get to my final question, because I was really curious. We kind of touched on it a very tiny bit in regards to, you know, influencers in that chatbot you had described that, you know, an influencer would be saying that they've sponsored, you know, whatever interaction is going to happen. I'm curious as to the play of influencer with chatbot to create a little bit more personalization, or at least have like, I don't know, that kind of interaction. Is there a play that you guys are seeing already?
I feel like what we're seeing is someone will say, like Alisa mentioned, they'll say, it's my automated self, which also feels interesting choice of words. I don't really want to yuck someone's yum, but I do think that there's a better way to utilize it. And I think one of the ways at least our solution to that is the influencer is a host. Think Westworld, those are hosts, you know, like you on the experience, not, you know, I think that that's a more tangible way to think about the role of the influencer in the conversation.
Is the host.
They're just there to guide you on the journey, the experience. You're not actually talking to
that person.
You're not talking to Kamala Harris or whoever.
I just have to say, if you are building your community on social and you have thousands upon thousands of followers, not being in the DMs, you are honestly losing money and data and really having ownership of your audience. Like, and so I say that for creators especially, because that's their watering hole. So predominantly, everyone today has probably seen a podcast or an influencer or a creator use the DMs. Brands are really second to market. That's one of our specialties, is working with brands. We've been doing chat and brands forever. But creators are definitely using it, and it's a real missed opportunity because it takes that personal, like I'm hanging out with you, like I'm watching a TikTok or your reel, to like the next level. It's such an easier market for selling than taking them to an affiliate link.
And I love that you've broken it down to creators and brands, because I think oftentimes, like, I don't know if creators, because they're people, do not view them as themselves as needing something that can help leverage and foster community, give them the ability to do more of like the one to many while still keeping like that personal touch of creating a conversation. Well, I could talk about this for days. I have one final question for both of you. So marinate on this while I say it. It is, if you knew then what you know now, what is the marketing or non-marketing advice that you give to yourself? Who wants to go first?
Pokrifka?
You do, Alyssa.
My thoughts are coming back to me.
What'd you say?
I said my thoughts are coming to me as we speak. Okay, I was so passionate about my creator stuff. Okay,
you're not going first? Okay. I will go with a non-marketing.
Love it.
You know, just because part of me is also like everything is marketing. But that being said, I think there's something to be said about balance. When, you know, as Lisa mentioned, we've been working together for over a decade, 13 years. And early on in our career, we had met working at an organization that really glorified workaholism. And uh-huh. When we left that and we, you know, started our first company, we really took to heart some really bad advice, which was like someone said to us, you can have sleep, you can have work, you can have friends, you can have family, or you can have your health. Those are the five things, and you can only pick two or three. That's it. And we really took that to heart. And that is a horrible way, or a very fast way, to burn out. And that's something I think, as we think about even taking that into like marketing, is like, where's balance between like, how do you actually balance your life? But then in marketing, how do you balance how much you are doing a hard sell versus building that relationship? Constantly, I feel like we're seeing people doing these very hard sells over and over and over again. There's a time and place for hard sell. Balance between actually, you know, speaking to your audience like a human.
I totally agree with that. And I also think the thing, and you can definitely see that from a marketing perspective. From a marketing perspective, I think like you take those five things because it's like organizing the priorities. I feel like every company I've been at has been like, there are 50 priorities. Well, if everything's a priority, nothing's a priority. So even if you whittle it down to five, okay, you've got those five, but like now pick the top three of those five. And now pick, like, if you had to pick one, which one would it be to be able to narrow that down? So I think that's fantastic advice. What about you, Alyssa?
I kind of piggybacking off of what Mia was saying, I don't think strategic creative ideas, strategies come to mind unless you're grounded. Me and I live a workaholic American dream. Let me tell you, beautiful things don't always come from that. And really prioritizing, understanding that quality sleep and all of those things is what creates amazing campaigns and ideas. I definitely would tell myself that, but I'm so grateful we got to learn that. And then when it comes to, I mean, this is such a simple one, but we've been on this journey since we were super, really, really young, and trust your gut. The ironic thing is we've had the same philosophies with marketing since day one. And I can say we were always waiting for someone to be like, oh, that's right. You guys got it right. You know, and like, we don't need that anymore. But I think we were like waiting for that, to someone to say, yeah, building a relationship is how you build a sustainable community. Having value exchange is how you keep your engagement up. Like, we've been preaching this stuff since 2012. Like, so I would say also just trust your gut with your perception of marketing as well.
I am obsessed with both of these responses. I love the trust your gut, because ultimately you can have so you can have so many facts in general, even from a marketing perspective. But when it comes down to it, it's like, you know, it's 60-40, like 40% is my gut. 60% is like what I know in that foundation. But like, I've got to trust that I have the right response. Now, there are all sorts of people that have me questioning like the direction of my career on like, you know, a monthly basis. But I mean, ultimately, you do want to trust your gut. And I think that's a fantastic like cherry on top of this conversation. Thank you both so much for coming on here. I have absolutely appreciated you both coming on here. We've all forgotten that I've mispronounced your name or called you the wrong name as well too. I'm not holding on to that. I'm sure you're not. But thank you both so much. This has been absolutely fantastic.
I hope that you guys found this conversation just as interesting as I did. I am ready to go right into the key takeaways. And my first one is personalized chatbots are a trend to watch. Now, this conversation with Mia and Lisa is exactly why I do this podcast, to learn new things and also keep up with the trends. Talking through this effectiveness of chatbots to create engagement or even foster community is not something that I've experimented with. Not sure if y'all like were like me before this conversation and thought that chatbot is automated and not personal. So I got the automation part correct because it is automated, but the personalization aspect, I got that all wrong apparently. The key to really creating a seamless, engaging, and conversational user experience with a chatbot as the carrier of that is conversational design. We'll dive into that much later. But it's exactly the programming that chatbot It's about programming that chatbot to reflect your brand's personality, to engage with their customers and community in a really meaningful dialogue. This is an interesting way to cut through the clutter and do think that it is a trend to watch. I'd advise to take the tips that they shared and start dabbling. You don't have to invest in the tool to try it, which is something that I really like that they mentioned. All right, key takeaway number two. Chatbots are changing social media engagement. Okay, let's talk about what engagement looks like right now that we're used to. And let's just focus on Instagram only. On Instagram, you've got comments are where the action happens. Anywhere from automation setup, starting conversations, asking questions, and putting in a good old emoji. Brands get in on that action too by encouraging folks to drop their thoughts or join in contests. It's all about keeping, you know, keeping the vibe positive and having everybody be engaged. Now in comes the use of chatbots and the DMs. Using chatbots can really help you create highly personalized and interactive conversation, not just dialogue. Mia and Elisa have seen engagement metrics like reduced bounce rates and increased time spent on interactions. These metrics are huge. Not only do you want them to engage, you want to keep them there. So the strategy shows a shift from generic broadcast marketing to intimate one-to-one conversations that really significantly elevate the user experience and build brand loyalty. We're all about building up that brand loyalty, make it sticky for them. So engagement is more than automating responses. Chatbots should be designed to reflect the brand's voice and to build relationships, not just push sales. My final key takeaway is conversational design is an art and science, but still human. So conversational design is the key to elevating the use of chatbots for social media DMs. This approach focuses on creating interactions that really feel personal and human rather than automated and impersonal. So designing chatbots that engage users dynamically with multiple conversational pathways, aka conversational design, I feel like it is very much so choose your own adventure, right? This is what ensures that each interaction is tailored to the user's response and it feels distinctly personal. They're part of it, right? They're part of their building that experience with you as a brand. Conversational design should blend technical efficiency with genuine human touch. Some tips from the podcast is, one, using multiple choice questions and open-ended prompts to facilitate active engagement. A second one, you can add influencers to be a quote unquote conversational host. And three, avoid just kind of robotic language. Go for a tone that would really resonate more with your audience. Think conversation, not like typing it out. I always say you have to like read your words out loud, even when you're typing them, if you're supposed to speak them, because, well, not just if you're supposed to speak them, but if you want to create that kind of dialogue, if there are words that you don't normally use in conversation, don't put them in the chat. Now, what did you take away from today's episode? You know, I want to hear it. Let's keep the conversation going. A special thank you to my podcast editor, Johnny Ike. And thanks to you for spending your time with me today. Until next time, may the conversation flow, the laughter linger, and the outlook remain optimistic, but grounded in reality. This is Katya, signing off.